I am Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Bogetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. Well, today, you know what? We're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, service dogs.
Sweet. I love service dogs.
Yeah, man. They do so much for so many. And what's great, Terry, is that as we go from year to year, we're seeing more service dogs out there, and they're doing more and more kinds of things for people with different kinds of disabilities.
Yeah.
And what I think is many people do not know that there are tons of kinds of service dogs.
Yeah, most people think of dogs for the blind.
Mm-hmm. And maybe for people with wheelchairs.
Maybe for people with wheelchairs, but unless they listen to us, they probably don't know there's a lot of other types of service dogs.
Seriously. And if we can help folks know that, for one thing, a service dog can be walking around with a person who has an invisible disability.
Right.
But if you see a vest on a dog, read the vest. It might be a therapy dog. And if it's a therapy dog, it will probably say, ask to pet me. Mm-hmm. Because a therapy dog goes, like my Murphy does with me, to hospitals and nursing homes, like your dogs do with you,
right,
to visit folks. But they're not service dogs. Service dogs are people who help the handicapped. And if that vest says service dog on it, it will probably say, please do not pet me. And the reason for that is that dog's working, and we don't want to interrupt the flow of the work.
Right.
So, actually, an incident happened to me recently, and we might as well just go through this
one. This is a good one,
yeah,
too. You were spitting mad.
Oh, I was. We have a wonderful store here in the Richmond area, Bass Pro, and I do an awful lot of dog training with folks at that store. And one particular day recently, I was there with two families. Both of them have diabetic alert dogs in training. These dogs are 9 months old. They're sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the diabetics is a 3-year-old little boy, and the other is a 14-year-old young man. And we met to train together and had a wonderful time there, and the dogs did beautifully. Their public access training is just fabulous. I'm very proud of them. But anyway, at one point we were standing in an aisle kind of away from other folks, and we were just chatting, and a man wiggled his way through us and bent full over at the waist right in one of the service dog's faces, petting the dog. Didn't say a word to us, didn't ask, didn't anything, just pushed his way in, starts petting this dog who's in a vest, and that vest says that dog is a service dog. And the mom of the 3-year-old, who the service dog is for, looked over this man's back at me and kind of just mouthed, what do I do?
You sure it was what do I do? Or?
No, she's a really nice lady. It was what do I do? And so I'm like, okay, I'm surrounded by these wonderful people and I can't smack this man. So I tapped him on the shoulder and he slowly stood up. I moved in between him and the service dog and kind of backed him away from the group a little bit. And I started explaining to him why it's not cool to pet a service dog, that they're working, you know, the dog's job is to alert on this child if the child has a low blood sugar or a high blood sugar or something's going on with that kid. That's that dog's job. Dog cannot be distracted by the public. And I swear to you, Terry, he looked at me like I was speaking another language or I was incredibly stupid. He never said a word. But he did leave, fortunately.
That's scary.
It just blew my mind because it's really unusual. Most folks are very respectful. And if they do ask to pet the dog and you say, no, but explain why, they understand.
Yeah. Some people just don't understand.
Yeah.
This person apparently was on a different planet.
Apparently. So anyway, sorry for that little aside. But guys, if you see a dog in a vest out in public, read the vest.
Yeah.
That's the best thing
you can
do.
And ask.
And ask.
Speak to the people. I mean, it's just common sense.
It is.
Common courtesy.
Well, it is. And just as a general doggy rule, especially if you have kids, and I see this, Terry, happening more and more in our area, God love the parents in the Richmond area. Any dog out in public on a leash, if your child wants to pet that dog, teach them to ask the person on the other end of the leash.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if that dog's comfortable with kids.
Right.
And it's so polite and it's so cool, and whenever somebody's kid comes up and asks to pet my Murphy in public, I thank the parent for teaching that.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing. So,
well, I have noticed that too, and I don't know if it's specific to our area, but right. It happens all the time. They'll come up and ask.
And 5 years ago, even, it didn't.
Yeah.
So somebody's getting it. Yeah, somebody got the memo, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, that was a side note. Now, the real reason we're here. Recently, there was a lot of media attention about a service dog in a school in Fairfax in Northern Virginia. It was in the Washington Post. It was on, the Today Show?
Today Show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the dog is a seizure alert dog trained for a 12-year-old. And the deal is initially the school refused the dog entry. And I'm not going to go into the details because I never know how accurate news reports are.
Generally, probably not.
Yeah. But there is a lot involved with allowing a child with a service dog into a school. And I think, as a trainer, I know with my clients, we deal with each school scenario individually. When we're training the dog, months before we even think we might be able to include that dog with that child at school, we're talking to the school administrators to see if it can happen. The good news is after all the publicity, the school system in Northern Virginia did say, yes, you can bring the dog, but they had rules attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
For example, at least initially, a parent has to ride with that child and that dog on the school bus to school to see if that is even going to work.
Right. Seems reasonable.
Well, it does. And I think, I don't know if the school system simply just said, okay, too much media attention, we have to let this happen. My hope is that if they had been approached early on, before the dog was even completed, had even completed its training, that they would have done the same thing, you know, without being forced to do the same thing.
Yeah, I would hope that a conversation could have resolved this. And,
yeah.
And I'm not sure there wasn't, even though there was a lot of media hoopla,
right.
Wasn't sure that there wasn't conversation happening in parallel with that based on what the mother was saying. It seemed like they were still working on it and they were still hopeful they could come to some sort of agreement. I don't think it's unreasonable to test to make sure the dog can do what it needs to do in different environments. That doesn't seem unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable. And also to ensure that the child is able to handle the dog without an adult assisting.
Right. That was the other thing. Physically 12 years old, mentally 5 years old. And that's where he...
That's what the news report said.
And that's what his mother said.
Oh, is that what
she
said?
Yeah.
Okay. And that being the case, you know, can this young man really handle that dog? Yeah, the dogs can be trained within an inch of their lives and can be, you know, next to perfect. But still, someone has to be responsible for that dog.
Right. And there's a lot of risk. I get that. When I saw the article or saw the thing on Today Show, I didn't think that was, as black and white as it was initially portrayed. School, like you said, they should have reasonable concerns. There's other kids there. There's other adults there. You know, how is this going to work? And that's all they were trying to work through, I believe.
And Virginia is pretty out front on this stuff. I did look up Virginia law. And actually, it's recommendations from the State Department of Education about service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually very liberal. And they make very specific recommendations for their school systems, their public school systems, about what has to be done, how each individual service dog team needs to be dealt with. It was pretty impressive.
Cool. That'd be a good read.
Yeah. I'll connect that to this episode of ARC Radio. And I also wrote a blog post about service dogs in schools. And I'll make sure that link is up as well. Because it isn't black and white, I don't think, ever. And we're pushing into new territory.
Yeah.
Because there are so many kinds of service dogs.
Right. We were just talking about that before we started recording, and the ADA has changed some of its verbiage that takes effect this year. And
it's very cool.
Yeah.
Because it's way broader than it used to be. And my sense is they are trying to keep up.
Right.
With the times. So I'm going to read you guys a little excerpt from the new language in the law that will take effect this year. let's see. Here's the definition. Service animal means any dog that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. It also includes language that it doesn't have to be a dog. It can be other species.
Yeah, they've changed that to animal now. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. The work or task performed by a service animal must be directly related to the handler's disability. What we know is that there still are people floating around who just want to get a little Fifi, the lap dog, into a restaurant, so they say the dog's a service dog. And no, you can't do that, okay? And just because it makes you happy to have the dog with you doesn't make the dog a service dog. Otherwise, we'd have our dogs in restaurants with us all the time because they make us very happy. Yeah. Okay, additional language from the ADA. Examples of work or tasks for a service dog include but are not limited to, and I really like that, assisting individuals who are blind or have low vision with navigation and other tasks, alerting individuals who are deaf or low vision with navigation and other tasks, alerting individual, oops, I'm sorry, sorry, back it up. Assisting individuals who are blind or have low vision with navigation and other tasks, alerting individuals who are deaf or hard of hearing to the presence of people or sounds, providing nonviolent protection or rescue work, which I find very interesting and I'm actually going to look into because I'm not sure what that means, but I think that's really interesting.
I would think like the SAR dogs is what the rescue work, wouldn't you? Or
I don't know because they're not service dogs. So
maybe they're lumping them now.
I'm
going
to have to look into that.
I'd like to know. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so additional tasks. Pulling a wheelchair, assisting an individual during a seizure. So there's the seizure alert dog. Alerting individuals to the presence of allergens. We've all heard about the dogs now who can make sure kids, especially with peanut allergies, don't go anywhere near peanuts because those allergies can kill those kids.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things they're referring to there. Retrieving items such as medicine or the telephone, providing physical support and assistance with balance and stability to individuals with mobility disabilities, and helping persons with psychiatric and neurological disabilities by preventing or interrupting impulsive or destructive behaviors. We love that
one.
Those are psych dogs.
Yep, the psych dogs.
Those are dogs who can help people with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, all sorts of things.
Yep.
So it's really broadening.
Yeah, and it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Times are changing. Some people are getting it that dogs can do some pretty amazing things if we take advantage of their natural instincts.
Absolutely, and that this is being incorporated into federal laws is just huge. And you know, it's going to be a bumpy path. This stuff always is because, you know, stuff happens. Dogs who are not fully trained make mistakes in public. That always makes the news. But for the most part, there are a lot of people trying to put some great dogs out there and to really, really assist a larger number of people. And bravo to that.
Yeah,
so thank you
good.
To the ADA. That's very cool. So that's it. That's all I have to say on the subject today.
Well, I think that was a good episode.
All right, guys. Y'all take care now.
See ya.